on today's episode of No Days Off. It is the Wednesday Melee, breaking down all the sports news from this week. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of No Days Off, ladies and gentlemen.
What's up,
everybody?
It's been
a while. It's been a while.
A couple
days.
If you
are not subscribed to the podcast, make sure you hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe. And if you're liking what you're hearing, give us a five-star review. Also, if you don't follow us on Instagram, follow us at No Days Off Podcast. Man, it feels good to be back doing a podcast.
Oh, dude,
gone
feels awesome.
Gone for a couple days. Gone for a couple days on the east coast of Florida to Daytona. But we are back in business. And ready to talk about
ton
some
of
sports.
Ton of stuff, everybody.
Ton of stuff. So what's going on, dude?
Nothing much, bro. Hey, I love hopping right into stuff. Where you want to begin? You want to go, what's on your mind? Let's hit it. Let's start
just,
NFL.
Yeah, you tell me.
So just a big thing, NFL. As you've probably been seeing, if you've been following news, a lot of players opting out. I wouldn't say a lot. There are players opting out of the season, the 2020 season, as it relates to concerns with COVID coronavirus. Now, if they opt out and they're low risk, so they're not at risk, they get $150K, okay?
Okay.
They forego their contract and it carries over to the next year. So carries over. If they're high risk, there's no carryover, so the year counts against them and they get $300K, all right? Now, the point of discussion here is not like all the metrics in terms of money and stuff. But when you see people, like, let me pull out my phone here. Who was big? We had Devin Funchess from
Dante
the Bills.
Dante Hightower.
Dante
Patrick
Hightower.
Patrick Chung from the Patriots. Both of those players from
Star
the Patriots.
Star Latui from the Bills. There's tight ends across the Saints that are doing it. Jordan Mack, Carolina Panthers. Lineman from the Jets. Marquise Goodwin from Philadelphia Eagles. Michael Pierce, Minnesota Vikings. So, yeah. So, basically, my question to you is, when we talk about discussion is, what do you make of all this, dude? Does it concern you at all when you look at the season? Do you think the NFL is doing a good job at kind of easing people's concerns? Like, where do you fall when you hear all this stuff?
Yeah, I don't. I personally don't. I just want football to happen this year. I think I just want football to happen this year. I'm excited to see the Patriots not have all their defensive players. As long as the Bills are rocking with majority of their full roster, like 99.9% of their roster, Star Latua, see ya. See you later. It's okay.
He's not the only guy that's good on the D line, but
he's not. He's not. Not like anybody else on the team. He's not a major contributor. I got nervous every time he was fucking in the game. So I'm not worried about
him. Oh, for
real?
You weren't buying Star Latua?
No. Hell no.
See, I was reading stuff and he was like a starter, like 2018, 2019, just rocking.
No.
Important at the nose position. So,
nope.
Well,
no. Wrong article. No, but I'm excited for to see
Devin Funchess is a big name. That's recognizable.
It's tough for the Packers, man, because you think about the Packers' entire wide receiving score. You think Devontae Adams is going to be able to carry that entire team by himself. You know, Aaron Rodgers just going to be looking Devontae Adams' way every single time. That's the tough thing. Yeah. Devin Funchess coming to that team was a huge kind of pickup just so that Aaron had somebody else to throw to. But now that he's opting out, it's like, holy shit.
I guess you got Aaron Jones to help assist.
You got Aaron Jones, you got Jamal Williams, you got Devontae Adams. But then when you look down the field, I guess you still have Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, they do have some other lesser name receivers. And Rodgers isn't a low, like, one-star QB. He's got the wherewithal to throw it around. And if guys get open, he's going to find them.
The thing with Aaron, man, is he can make anybody better. Like, the Packers have been surrounding him with
guy like
just
Tom Brady, guy
weak
like Aaron
ass receivers his entire career. So it's tough to say, like, hey, I'm worried about it. You got Alan Lazard. Oh, my God. Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yep.
It's just some of these names, dude. You're just like, oh, my God. Like, how has Aaron Rodgers done all that he has done in his career with the amount of people that the Packers organization has surrounded him with, man? I don't know. In their draft, you just look at their draft, wasn't what obviously he was hoping for from a quarterback standpoint. He was looking for another skill position player. They draft another running back out of Boston College to add to Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. I don't know. Is that a future sign to like say like, hey, Aaron Jones is going to be gone next year as a free agent? Just the entire Packers organization, I have no idea what's going on. from LaFleur to Gutekunst as their general manager. Dude, it's just a weird freaking organization.
I don't know. As you look at it, you wonder if this is kind of like the turn of the tide there for the Packers.
Is Aaron going to be gone, man?
Someone's going to pick him up if he goes. That's a no-brainer.
But my biggest thing about the COVID situation, I love seeing these Patriot players opt out. My concern is there something going on with the puppet master, Bill Belichick, where he has all of this cap space? I think they're talking about they have over $22 million of cap space now that all these players have opted out. Is that a sign that they're going to sign somebody?
Like Clowney?
Yeah, that's my problem. The thing
He's the biggest name out there. That's why.
Biggest name out there. But the thing is, I was listening to Michael Lombardi on Pat McAfee's show with AJ Hawk yesterday, and he was saying that Jadeveon Clowney just isn't a fit when it comes to the New England's defense, man. Doesn't practice on Wednesday, doesn't practice on Thursday. Bill Belichick doesn't play with that shit, dude. He does not play with that shit. And if Clowney thinks this is just the Clowney show, you're going to the wrong organization if you're going to the Patriots. And 22 mil isn't enough. I don't think it's enough. I think the Browns offered him fucking like $23 million. And he's like, nah, I'm good.
Oh, dude, no.
23 mil a year, dude. And he's like, nah, cool, I'll wait. I'll wait for something better.
Well, I don't know what this guy's doing.
What the hell, man?
I don't know what this guy's doing.
It's just a weird situation to think about.
Dude, it's funny. The Raiders want him. And there was talk that, speaking of the Raiders again, Jalen Ramsey, do you see some of this stuff, dude?
I saw that, dude.
He's putting out like plugs on social media that he wants to be a Raider. And I think he's got one more year in his contract.
So dude, how?
This year,
how,
next year. And then he's a free agent. So that'd be, I don't know, why would he want to go to the Raiders? Because he likes that Las Vegas vibe? Because he likes the new stadium? He likes that sports gambling? He likes that, probably, dude.
How pissed do you think Sean McVay and everybody at the LA Rams are?
Oh, what
right
a
now?
Friggin' idiot.
Dude, what did
dude.
They, you
what
know what they gave
idiot.
Up? They gave up two first round picks for Jalen Ramsey, man, to get him from the Jags to the Rams. They have him this year, but dude, who knows what he's going to be like? So if it's his last year, he's going to play hard. He's got to play hard.
I think he has this year, and I think he has one more year. I could be wrong, or else it's just this year.
I think it might just be this year, but yeah, don't quote me on that when it comes to Ramsey, man.
Either way, the thing is that this guy's just like,
that's the
dude.
The tough
you
got it.
Like you're playing for a different team. That's like saying that, hey, yeah, I don't. That wife over there looks pretty nice. Dude. Maybe I'll hit that wife up, you know, next year. It's like, dude, come on. You're married to your team right now, bro.
Dude, even when he was with the Jags, though, before when everything was going like copacetic, he went on Bussin' with the Boys with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. It's a Barstool podcast by Tennessee Titans left tackle Taylor Lewan, and he was talking about how his top destinations would be Las Vegas or Tennessee Titans, dude. Because he's from Tennessee originally before he went to Florida State, before he obviously got drafted by the Jags. So it's interesting to see, man. He's not a shy fucking dude, man. He showed up to camp in a Brinks truck, you know, sending Tom Coughlin a fucking message like, hey, buddy, you better pay me or get rid of me.
I remember.
They fucking shipped his ass out.
Tom Coughlin, dude, what a mess. That guy's a messy situation for the Jags.
At least from like a
president. Will that organization
standpoint.
Ever bounce back? Are they going to be shipped off to London? Are they going to be shipped off somewhere?
Dude, there's so
probably not. I don't think they were going to switch.
I think they're the obvious candidate right now. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars are the obvious candidate right now for the number one overall pick.
Yes, clearly.
Just looking at this stuff going on this season, the inability to sign free agents or the inability to want to sign free agents. I don't think there's a team around the league. Maybe you could say the Jets now after.
No, but they got a plan, dude. I think they got a number of picks from that trade for Jamal Adams. So they're looking pretty good, dude. They're going to be stacked. And I think, speaking of the Jets, this is. I'm not saying they're going to be stacked in terms of what they have as picks in the draft.
I guess. I don't know.
Because they got a bunch of first round picks for Jamal Adams this year, like this coming season, the next coming season. They got a third rounder as well, plus their own picks. So I feel like, when you're looking at that trade that they gave up Jamal Adams for, a lot of people are saying, hey, the Jets made out like a bank robber.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know, dude, because they got rid of a guy who didn't want to be there. Granted, it's an all-pro guy, but they got a crap ton of draft capital for him. They got a safety in return, so I
don't know. I think if you think about the price tag, so Seattle Seahawks got Jamal Adams from the New York Jets, all-pro safety. They gave up two first-round picks.
And a third-round
pick. I believe it's a 2021 first-round pick and a 2021 third-round pick and then a 2022 first-round pick as well.
No, that's got it right here. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'm just thinking, like, dude, I think the Jets were asking for three first-round picks for him originally.
And
like,
they got Bradley McDougal from the Seahawks as well.
That's great. And I just think, like, you think about the Seahawks now, man. Like, when you think...
I agree.
Does this... does this trade make sense? Like, would you have done that as a general manager standpoint from the Seahawks, from any team? I think I definitely would have pulled the trigger.
I think if you're the Seahawks, I think you have to, I think that's a trade you got to make just because you look at that division and you look at, you know, the 49ers. How can you come ahead of them? You look at other teams there. And, you know, I heard something that they like this move because of how he matches up against George Kittle and how George Kittle was a huge factor for the 49ers, you know, for the past couple of years. So, you know, Seattle's been known for their defense for the past years. I mean, you got Bobby Wagner up the middle. You got some lights out folks. So I like the move. I feel like Pete Carroll's a defensive minded guy too, right? So you look at, you know, the kind of defensive power he had back at USC. It's a good move for the Seahawks. I think that the Jets got some good money for him, though.
Yeah, I think back to when the Seahawks did have the Legion of Boom, man. You know, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas.
You had
Brandon Brown, or was it, on the other side, on the opposite corner of Richard Sherman. So it's interesting to see, are they trying to get back to those ways of saying, hey, this is where we're headed back now.
Yeah.
As an organization for the Seattle Seahawks. We're heading back to that defensive style of
football that got us
to the, you know, the Super Bowl twice. They dominated the Denver Broncos against Peyton Manning. They lost to the Patriots, obviously. But it's like, dude, I look at the NFC, man, and this acquisition of Jamal Adams, I might be a little bit overreacting and prisoner of the moment right now. But right now, I have the Seahawks winning the entire NFC, dude. I don't, like, everybody's on San Francisco because of their defense. Dude. But, dude, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G sucks, dude.
Not only that, but
overhyped and overrated.
He can't throw to Kittle every play this year.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Deebo Samuel is out. All right, he's hurt. Is he going to be out the entire season? No, I don't think so. But they also shipped Emmanuel Sanders out as well. Not shipped him out, but he signed with the New Orleans Saints. So how the hell can you not tell me that the San Francisco 49ers are going to have a huge drop-off and the Seattle Seahawks are going to step into that place, not only in the NFC West, but I think clearly in the entire NFC. What other team can you tell me is going to give them a push? Maybe the Saints? Maybe.
It's a great question. Tampa Bay, when you're thinking about the Buccaneers, everyone loves them. You think about maybe the Panthers, but dude, I got to tell you.
The Panthers?
Maybe. I kind of like the Panthers this year. Dude, San Francisco, you want to stay on that? Christian McCaffrey, they got, who's the quarterback? What's his name?
Good start. Good start.
New Orleans Saints, they traded for.
Yep.
Anyways.
Keep going.
Dude, I like the Panthers, okay?
I'm thinking of Teddy Bridgewater.
You get 3 years, $60 million for.
I think they're the last place team in that division, brother.
I don't know. Behind the Falcons?
Yeah.
But anyways, dude, I think that NFC, the move that the Seahawks did, really makes that 49ers matchup kind of a defensive battle in some respect.
I love that you like the Panthers.
Yeah, I like the Panthers, dude. I like the Panthers, okay? I like them now. They don't have Cam Newton. I like Christian McCaffrey a lot. I like Teddy Bridgewater. It sucks Luke Kuechly retired, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah, man.
But when you look at the Niners versus the Seahawks, definitely like kind of defensive power there. And if those two balance out, then you look at, okay, how the offenses balance out, and you got to give the nod to the Seahawks in terms of you're comparing offenses.
Oh, no doubt.
So when you look at that division, I think you got to give the nod to the Seahawks, and I think they got a good path.
It's tough to say.
Conference championships, to the Super Bowl, perhaps.
When you look at it, I agree, like from a quarterback standpoint, you go Russell Wilson over Jimmy Garoppolo.
100%.
Jimmy Garoppolo, excuse me. From a running back standpoint, dude, I think I would go with the 49ers. You know, you look at Raheem Mostert, you look at Tevin Coleman, they are just animals. I look back to that NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers, dude, they ran over Green Bay. Dude, hey, good job in the draft, Green Bay.
But then, like, you compare the receiving core,
correct?
I mean, you got Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf,
David Moore, and they're looking to bring back possibly Josh Gordon. There's rumors that they're thinking about bringing back
Josh Gordon.
So I think from an offensive standpoint, you look at two different ways that they're going to have to try and win the game this year.
Yeah.
What a flex from
the Niners between that West Coast style they were known for back in the day. But, and dude, if they got a great running game, Seattle's just going to load the box and put one guy on, you know, Kittle.
Yeah.
And there you go.
I don't know if Jamal Adams can play just one-on-one with Kittle the whole time, though. The whole game.
No, you can switch guys off.
I think that's real tiring. They might have to double-team Kittle, and that's not a problem, man. If you look at the other receivers on the 49ers, who do they got? Dante Pettis?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like, who else do they have? Nobody that I can really think of. And then also, kind of going back to that running back talk, Joe Staley retiring this year is a huge blow to the 49ers offensive line, man.
Yep.
After 13 years, six-time Pro Bowler, he retired just kind of out of nowhere. And good for him, man. You think he played 13 years in the freaking NFL. It's time to just catch a break. This guy was unreal for them, too. And I think last year was his, I don't know, I don't want to say his best shot at winning a Super Bowl. And I might be staying off the 49ers a little bit too much because that defense is so damn good, man. That defense is so good just from all standpoints.
But, dude, you got to look at the offense, too. Like, yeah, the defense is stout, but Jimmy G threw, I think, like, what, like 12 times in the Super Bowl? And it just, he was, like, complaining that he wants more, like, he wants more. He needs to be have better people around him afterward.
Hey, shut up, buddy.
It's like, Jimmy G, shut your mouth. But Jamal Adams at the Seahawks, they're seeing him out this year. They didn't give him a huge extension when he signed, so we'll see what happens there. Can I be a little selfish for a second when you look
Please.
At all this?
Yeah.
The opting out of the 2020 season. You know what? I immediately comes to mind, and listen, I got it. Protect their health and their families. But, dude, I'm thinking, like, fantasy impact.
Yeah.
Because, like, what happens if you – like, this is what's going to happen to me. I friggin' know it, dude. I'm going to draft, like,
Saquon
like,
Barkley.
Dude, name somebody. I'm going to draft a receiver. I'm going to draft, like, Tyler Boyd. And the next day, dude, I'm telling you, the next day or that
Opting
evening,
out.
They're going to opt out.
It's happened to Jake almost every year.
They're going to opt out.
Jerick McKinnon.
And he got an ACL injury like that.
Literally
night.
Like
not even
that day.
You, that day.
He was finishing
like,
up
alert,
practice, non-contact.
Alert, after the draft finish, alert, McKinnon's out, ACL, on like the last play of practice. But I hope that the NFL can almost put a date to, hey, you can opt in or out by whatever date, okay? August 20th. I don't know. I'm just shooting that out of the
I don't
mind.
Know, dude. You can't
And then
say
from
that,
there
though.
On out.
What if they test positive? What if
I'm just saying
positive?
like optionally opt out.
Yeah.
Like if not, you got it. You got it at least you got it. You're in. Okay. Unless you get sick.
This guy's getting selfish about fantasy,
dude,
man.
It's just,
this guy's
it's
getting
true,
selfish
bro.
About fantasy.
I'm
bro.
Just thinking, I'm not trying to be, I'm just thinking like, cause I enjoy the draft. I enjoy fantasy a ton. It really is fun during the season as well. In addition to the games,
dude. Yeah.
And you just got to wonder like, okay, someone uses their first pick on Saquon or Christian McCaffrey. Dude opts out. I don't think it's going to happen to them as an example, but you know, some other receiver or you can't draft New England defense now. They were probably a top defense
correct
in fantasy.
Dante Hightower's huge loss.
So was Patrick Chung, dude. Patrick Chung
yeah,
was legit
no,
as well.
No doubt. I'm not taking anything away from them. I dude, it's so freaking, I'm such a douchebag. I just love seeing these Patriots players just yeah. opt out, but it makes me nervous. Again, Bill Belichick knows things that we don't know. I don't know what his plan
know,
is.
Man.
Is he trying to tank this season and get Trevor Lawrence?
He's not divine, dude. I don't think he's divine.
I don't know, man. I'm just interested to see what's going to be coming up.
I was reading today, Tua passes Dolphins physical, clear to practice.
Cool. Good for him. Going to be fun watching Ryan Fitzpatrick start in front of you.
Dude, I'm a big Fitzpatrick fan.
Me too. I think Tua's a China doll. I think Tua is a China doll. I think everybody in the Miami Dolphins organization who has like all this divine hope for Tua to be the savior of the organization, it definitely could happen. And I think they couldn't pass up another opportunity at almost a second Drew Brees, a left-handed Drew Brees, because they totally jacked that up when they were trying to sign Drew Brees and instead he ended up going to the Saints because of all that going on with Nick Saban and they ended up going with Dante Culpepper. And all that shit. So I think they had to go with Tua. I guess they could have went with Herbert. But, man, I think the organization just...
I like Brian Flores. I like him as a coach. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they were last year this year by any means. No. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Who's their running back this year? Do you have that offhand? Like,
I know they still have Kalen Ballage. They picked up... oh, my God. Why am I spacing on his name from the 49ers?
I'm just thinking of the, like... I'm just thinking Devontae Parker's kind of like, I'm thinking offense, defense are not bad. They had some dudes out last year that they get back this year. So that'll be cool for the Dolphins.
Oh, dude, actually they picked up two running backs in free agency, Matt Breida and Jordan
like
Howard, dude.
Oh, damn,
that's that's good.
Jordan I didn't hear much about that.
Jordan Howard's a big boy too, man. Yeah, because it happened, you know, fucking before coronavirus. And then you start forgetting all this shit because of all this other stuff going on, man. But yeah, Matt Breida, just injury prone. Jordan Howard, just an animal. Big boy. Used to run for the Chicago Bears.
They like those guys. They like those Frank Gore type of big boys.
Big boys, dude. Big boys.
Yo, speaking of big boys, speaking of big money, what about Joey Bosa? Ohio State.
5 years, $135 million, right?
Getting some cash.
I think it's $27 million a year.
I heard it was like $78 million guaranteed.
At signing, too.
At signing.
And then $102 million
I was telling you earlier,
guaranteed. That's fucking crazy.
The owner of the Chargers bought the team for $78 million in 1984. And Joey Bosa's character.
Is that a real number?
I'm serious, dude. I'm serious. I read it. I'm serious. Somebody can stat me up and put it in the comments.
Oh, this is going on Instagram.
But I was reading it, and it was in my memory. Joey Bosa's guaranteed money this year, $78 million. Owner buys it in 1984.
That's at signing, though. That's at signing. So when you look at his contract, let's look at this. Largest defensive contracts, new money average. Number one, Joey Bosa, 5 years, $135, $27 million per year. Dang. Number two, Myles Garrett, 5 years, $125, $25 million a year. Khalil Mack, 6 years, 141.
He's worth it.
23 and a half. Number four, probably the best player on this fucking list, Aaron Donald, 6 years, 135, 22 and a half. Dude. And then number five, Cowboys, DeMarcus Lawrence, 5 years, 105, 21.
I heard he might not even play this year. I heard he was kind of sketchy on the season.
See ya, dude. See ya. All the Cowboys. Fucking teams we hate, dude, I hope all their players opt out, man. All of them opt out. Hey, Patrick Mahomes, I heard you just signed a 10-year contract. Take this year off, pal.
Dude, it's funny because like Bosa wasn't in the top 10 of Madden. Those immediately come to mind. The pass rushers ratings.
And now he's the top.
And now he's the top paid
defensive lineman, defensive player.
Defenseman. Say defenseman.
Okay, so I give you that list. All right.
Yeah.
Number one's obviously Bosa. Number two, Myles Garrett. Number three, Khalil Mack. Number four, Aaron Donald. Number five, DeMarcus Lawrence. Who on that list are you taking?
I'd love to have all of them, dude. How sick of a team would that be?
Yeah, exactly.
I would take Aaron Donald.
Imagine that
fucking salary cap.
Donald,
yeah.
Aaron Donald, I think I would go with Aaron Donald too, or Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack, second, close second.
Yeah, dude. Okay, so you go Aaron Donald, one, Khalil Mack, two, Myles Garrett, three, and then DeMarcus Lawrence, four,
He's five. Joey Bosa, four, Lawrence, five.
Deal. Deal. I like that list, man. But yeah, when you think about that money, man, it's just like, is everybody just going to keep getting like this charity? Like, hey, you're the new largest contract in NFL history.
Oh, dude, they're all beating each other, man. They want to be upped. It's funny because it's just, yes, I think players look at who's getting paid the most. And if they think they're in that range, they're going to try to get paid the most. We had this conversation about agents and trying to make sure that the other guy down the road doesn't get screwed. So they're going to try and get more money. You look at salary caps going up. This season's going to be just a whiff, dude, with all this stuff going on with Corona. But they're renegotiating their TV contracts. That's going to be more money for each team.
The tough thing is somebody sent this out on Twitter, and they said the San Francisco 49ers better start saving now for Nick Bosa's contract in like 4 years, dude.
Dude.
Because that dude's going to be getting paid like whatever, close to $200 million at that point, if you think about it, dude.
Probably.
I don't know about $200 million. Don't quote me on that. But it might be like $175 million. Who knows?
These caps are going to go up, though. Hey, other news. My boy Dalvin Cook's reporting.
Good.
He's reporting. I mean, we talked about it before, how a lot of major running backs, this is like a year to prove themselves before they become free agents next year, including Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, Todd Gurley's on that list. There's others. Alvin Kamara.
Yep. Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry signed. Excuse me. Shit.
So these guys got to rock and roll this year.
I would have loved to see Derrick Henry test free agency, man.
Man, Dalvin Cook does well. I like that guy, man.
Imagine that fucking money.
But the thing is, his backup can perform because that offense, you know, can do well running.
Yeah.
Madison can perform because that offense just like is geared to run. Who else? Who else we got to talk about? We're just running it down. Buy or sell and Alex Smith come back on the Washington football team.
No.
Buy or sell and Alex Smith come
back. Did you watch that? Did you watch that? That ESPN.
The show about
Alex Smith?
No, I didn't.
It was scary, dude.
Really?
I watched the whole thing, man. It was like emotional, and it was scary seeing him go through like everything he went through. It was, you know who fucking injured him? Not injured him on fucking purpose.
J.J. Watt, that mother.
It was J.J.
Watt. That mother trucker.
That fucking that overrated 98
Madden,
overall, my ass,
Madden
dude.
Ratings.
Get out of here, J.J. Watt.
Poster boy.
But watching that ESPN.
Yeah, that's right. Comment on this, J.J. Watt. We're going to tag you. Comment.
Not necessarily like it was a documentary. It was almost, I think it was an E60. Dude, it was gruesome seeing what his leg is like. As soon as he had to go through so many fucking surgeries, and he was just positive the whole time. He's a good dude, man.
Good.
Alex Smith is a good fucking dude. And you look back when he was with the Chiefs a few years ago, man, he was a fucking MVP candidate before Patrick Mahomes came into the fold, and obviously they traded him to the Redskins, which are now the Washington football team. But dude, it's like what the fuck? It's like what the fuck are we doing here, man? I just don't want him to fucking lose his entire leg. you're set with money, man. I think you're set. I don't know if I want to see him come back. I would love the story. I would love to talk about it on the podcast. But I just don't know if he needs this. I don't know if he needs to go through this again. Imagine him taking a preseason snap, even though the preseason's not happening. But imagine his first game back under center or just holding the ball on a field goal, dude. He just fucks up his leg again. It was gruesome, dude. It was like black and sludgy. It was fucking gross watching that behind the scenes of that entire surgery.
Dang.
You know, him talking to the doctors got to know him super well. They were emotional talking about it. They were talking about loss of leg or loss of life. And he was just a fucking battler, dude. This guy just battled through everything, man. I'm interested to see how it goes and kind of pans out. But I don't know if I want to see Alex Smith have a comeback. I don't know if I want to see that.
Some of these top level athletes, I mean, that's their life is just training and comebacks and just that's like what they live for is just sport. So that's probably a huge fire in them. I'd love to see him get in playing shape. I agree with you. I don't want to see him play, but
that's a guy who would need the preseason. Yeah. That's a guy who would totally need the preseason. Unfortunately, it's like, hey, not happening this year, pal.
What a team, though. That Washington football team, man. What a shit show.
So LeBron James tweeted saying, oh, wow, it took you guys a while to come up with that. I go in the shower, you come out, and it's the Washington football team. And they tweeted back at him, hey, man, you named your son LeBron James Jr. Don't make fun of us about creativity or something like that. And then everybody was ripping all of them, dude. So,
dude, all right. Hey, one more discussion on the NFL related. So Major League Baseball, you see the Marlins and stuff, like just the teams kind of getting that COVID run through in the organization. They don't have a bubble, right? They moved around to play games. Do you think the NFL has a risk of not having a bubble with all the teams
there?
They
can't, dude. They can't.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's different having, you know, a 53-man roster.
With staff. Medical staff.
Exactly, dude. How the fuck can you...
Coaching staff.
They have the money.
Huge coaching
staff. They definitely have the money to be able to produce this, but where are they going to do it?
I don't know, dude. So for me, I feel like I'd love to see him go to like Orlando where they have some of this Disney crap and just take all the resorts up and just load all the players and staff in this stuff and just rock and roll over there. But, or you just have an AFC and an NFC bubble and you do it that way, like kind of like the NHL's doing.
That's not a bad
idea. I just, you know, hope the players are safe.
The AFC, NFC bubble.
Hope the players are safe. You don't play any non-conference games. Hopefully the players are safe. I hate to see this stuff happen and then some games get canceled, which is what happens with the MLB.
People were talking shit about the Miami Marlins saying, are the players even COVID positive? Because that team fucking sucks, dude. They suck. And it's just like, are they trying to get out of the season? Are they trying to get out of the contracts? Are they trying to get out of this? Trying to get out of that, dude? It's just like, That organization is just a train wreck, man. Train wreck. Like, try selling tickets to a fan base like Miami, which is a little bit fickle. I get that. Even when the Heat were, you know, dominating the NBA.
I feel like it's not that hard, though, to, like, be good. You just need to pay people to get there. Like, in baseball,
I know,
right?
But not everybody wants to fucking, you know, pay people as much as the Yankees do or as much as the Dodgers do.
I get it, but then don't complain if you're, like, not in the contention.
They're not complaining, dude.
It's just for me, I don't get the mindset of, like, okay, we're crappy. Let's just stay crappy. Like, let's just continue on course here.
They're probably making money, dude.
How about you try and be good and, like, win a championship and boost your fan base?
I don't know. I think you're making it sound, like, so easy. Like, hey, why haven't the Bills won a Super Bowl? Why haven't the Lions won a Super Bowl? Why haven't...
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, dude...
It's
way tougher than we're making it out.
Talent, recruiting pools, minor leagues, pulling players up, all that scouting. I get all that stuff comes into play. I'm being super high level with it.
For sure. And kind of on that baseball note, I don't know if you saw this... It was all over Twitter, all over Facebook, all over SportsCenter. But LA Dodgers pitcher Joe Kelly was teeing off on not a fucking ton of Houston Astros batters yesterday, man. I know he beamed Alex Bregman. And then after that, he hit Correa as well. And then there was a little bit of a skirmish, man. He was just telling him to fuck off and nice swing, just talking mad shit to him.
That was Joe Kelly, right? Pitching it?
Joe Kelly, yeah. I think he's former Boston Red Sox pitcher.
Yeah.
Just talking some mad shit to these dudes. He didn't give a fuck. Dude, he threw at Bregman and he was like yawning after.
Oh, yeah, dude.
He was yawning after. He didn't give a fuck. And it goes back to what I said. I think it was last Wednesday, man. Like, are the Houston Astros going to be dealing with this all season?
Yeah, because
I think so.
Cheaters, dude.
Fucking cheaters, dude. See ya.
Dude, you honestly, deserve it. If baseball had that type of like brawl like intensity, I would watch every game.
Like
I would watch every game, dude.
Like the NHL.
If there were like opportunities to get brawls like every pitch, just and like people are like whiffing and they're throwing over heads and like teams are like, what are you doing?
The refs finally
break
it up.
I'm yawning. And it's just nuts. Wow, that's exciting. It was interesting to see Joe Kelly do that. I mean, a lot of people think, hey,
dude,
that's the case in point for the Astros.
He was just shit-talking these boys,
cheaters.
Too.
And they're stealing signals, and they're doing, like, texts on their phones and on their iWatches and stuff and, like, slamming on trash cans to show what the thing is and whatever, what the signal is. I mean, there's stories about how they cheated and all this stuff. You know, it's... People also said, well, maybe Joe Kelly just sucks at pitching. He was having an off night.
Yeah.
No chance, dude.
People...
No chance.
He was... People had his back, like, that are fans of him saying, like, hey, he is... Hey, to be fair, like Joe has no control over his fastball, and he's admitted that before. But I don't know, dude. The way he was fucking, lighting these dudes up, it was like, hey, good luck, Astros. Good luck this fucking year, man.
Yeah, sucks to be you, bro.
Hey, when
Dodgers too.
Yeah,
good team.
What else, dude?
Who else we got to talk about? Ooh, any NBA news you want to bring up? Latest on that going down?
No, man, nothing too crazy. Obviously, like Lou Williams, that whole situation. Leaving the bubble, going to the strip club.
Yeah.
Fucking craziness.
I look forward to seeing
the Lakers have looked good.
Start.
The Clippers have looked good. The Bucks. It's just like the Lakers are the betting favorites, obviously. LeBron James, that entire team's looking good.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how they do against the Clippers. I think that's tomorrow on Thursday. That's going to be a huge game, or maybe it's Friday. I forget, but that's going to be a huge game kind of to determine. I know they're not going to have Anthony Davis when they do play the Clippers. So it's kind of a tough situation for them. I just want to get into the seeding. I want to see who's going to be the eighth seed in the West, who's going to be playing who, and then we can start kind of determining who we think's going to actually take this thing. I got to see the matchups, though, dude. I got to see the matchups.
Yeah, definitely. I can't wait for the playoffs to happen, quote unquote. So beyond that, dude, what else we got to talk about? Boom, 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 boom. Hey, you want to get into some fighting stuff?
Yeah.
So
oh my
from
God.
Me, dude, first thing... Let's go boxing first. Mike Tyson fight?
Versus Roy Jones Jr.
Versus Roy Jones Jr.
A lot of people are saying they're going to go super hard.
Prelim being Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul.
That's a co-main event, right?
Co-main event, prelim, yeah, something like that before.
The underfight.
What do you think about Tyson? Buy or sell this, dude?
I don't know. I don't know if it's just going to be a glorified sparring match or if it's just going to be these dudes are coming after each other.
I hope so.
I don't know.
What's the deal with Roy Jones Jr.? Was he like legit and back
in
the day?
Oh, yeah, dude. He was one of the best boxers of all time, man. The problem is, like, when you look at Tyson in his prime, obviously, it's just like, dude, I just don't know if he still has that power. I don't know if Roy Jones is going to be...
I don't know, man. I see these clips on Instagram of Tyson just killing it in his practice sessions.
Grant, oh, yeah.
These are videos, and man. I could look like a champ in
my practice sessions.
You know
who he's training with? He's training with, like, an MMA coach, Rafael Cordeiro, who trains a ton of high-level UFC fighters and stuff like that. The problem is Roy Jones Jr. was a middleweight, super middleweight. He's not a heavyweight like Mike Tyson was, dude.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder if this is more about, hey, like, let's see a good fight, or is it more about intrigue, let's sell some pay-per-views or whatever this
be. I know they both want to get back into fighting. The problem is, like, you saw with Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz when they fought, dude, recently, like within a year ago. That was just a shit show. Chuck Liddell just got obviously shit canned because he's almost 50 years old. The thing is, Tyson's, like you said it, his videos look fucking
on
point.
Dude, he looks like a monster.
And Roy Jones Jr. is just a legit fighter, man. Just a legit boxer, one of the best of all time. I'm like speechless. I don't know. Do I want to watch this? Do I not want to watch this?
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about Jake Paul and Nate Robinson?
I hope Nate Robinson wins that.
Yeah, Jake Paul's just a piece of shit, man. Just a fucking piece of shit. I don't know.
September 12th.
You look at like pure athleticism. Nate Robinson should just be able to do that. I just don't know what kind of boxing, you know, training he's actually gone through. I have no clue.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely
Jake Paul's not. Jake Paul's.
Are you going to buy that pay-per-view?
I don't know.
Or are you going to go somewhere to watch it? Probably.
I might go somewhere to watch it. I don't want to spend my money on that. But I would probably go watch it.
Yep.
You know, Jake Paul's not a terrible boxer, man. He's fighting, you know, granted, YouTube personalities, not fighting a fucking, you know, professional athlete like Nate Robinson. But
Nate Robinson looks small, like in the NBA, dude. But when you look at his actual height, let's see what we got here. Let's see what he has. He's actually 5'9", so it's nothing too crazy short. When he's in the NBA, you're like, damn, that guy must be like 5'6". But he's 5'9", looks small in the NBA. So that's an average size.
5'9 is not huge either, though.
5'9", 180.
I don't know, man.
I hope Jake Paul gets his ass kicked. I just don't want to see these YouTube stars. I just, dude, come on, man.
Imagine if he won that fight, dude. Just that the shit suck. Talking coming out of that. I don't
Go
know.
Go Nate Robinson.
Yeah. And then when you look at other fight news, man, coming up. So we got three huge title fights in the UFC. August 15th, Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier, the trilogy.
Trilogy.
Daniel Cormier's final fight, whether it's a win, lose, or draw. All right. Then September 19th, I believe it is Israel Adesanya versus Paulo Costa. And just announced, I believe it was yesterday, October 24th will be the lightweight unification bout between the current champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov, as well as the interim lightweight champion, Justin Gaethje.
Love
so
it.
There is some fucking fire coming up
Love it.
In the UFC, man, with all these title fights going on. There's rumors, and Dana White was interviewed by ESPN's Brett Akimoto,
yep,
saying that if Khabib did beat Gaethje, which is a big if, man, because Gaethje looked amazing against Ferguson at UFC 249. So it's just, that's a big if, man, if he's
Has
able
Khabib
to beat.
Has Khabib fought in a while? I feel like I haven't seen him fight in a little bit.
It's been a little bit, man. It's been a little bit. His last win was against Dustin Poirier,
mm-hmm.
another title retention. His father just passed away, so he's been kind of mourning the loss of his father,
yeah,
which is
I remember that,
a
I remember
huge
that.
Blow to him. I don't
Khabib,
know what,
that is.
What Khabib we're going to see after his father's death, because he was just so involved in his training and everything like that. But when we look at that fight, Gaethje's just an animal when it comes to striking, and his takedown defense is pretty damn good.
Mm.
Khabib's main specialty, getting people to the ground and them not getting back up. And then
yes.
he just mauls them, just ground and pounds these guys
yeah.
until
I'll miss
they
guy.
Either give up their back and he submits them, or he literally just TKOs them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so, October 24th?
October 24th. And the yes. rumor is, sorry, I totally, you know, went off the rails there. The rumor is if he beats Gaethje, which is a big if, his final fight, Dana White would consider allowing that fight to be Khabib Nurmagomedov against George St. Pierre. Because that's the biggest ask of Khabib over his career.
Really?
Is to fight George St. Pierre, a legend like George St. Pierre. The question I have, would it be at 155? Would it be at 170? Would it be a catchweight at 165? 160? I don't even know. But Khabib has been asking for that George St. Pierre fight since he has got the lightweight title, man.
Put it on.
And it's just, the UFC has to. Dana White said, I would definitely consider that, because Khabib's been amazing to the company.
Yep.
He's the first undefeated, you know, champion the UFC's seen in a while, obviously besides John Jones, but there's an asterisk next to John Jones' loss because it was a DQ from 12 to 6 elbows against Matt Hamill, so...
Now, let me ask you a question on this. Would you rather see, if things played out that way, Khabib and GSP or Khabib and Conor again?
Oh, man. I know which one's going to sell more, to Khabib and Conor.
You think that would sell more?
Yeah, but I think for Khabib's legacy, he wants George St. Pierre.
Now, is George St. Pierre's retired? Is he too old to begin back in this stuff? Or
no,
is he
no,
kinda,
no. He's still training every day.
He's
dude.
Still training regularly?
He's still very high level. He obviously would have to change things up. He's not, you know, training for a fight right now.
Yeah.
He's not training for a specific opponent. But, dude, he's still training pretty often up in Quebec. His coach is Faraz Sahabi, who's just one of the best coaches in the game up at TriStar MMA in Quebec. Mm. So I wouldn't be worried about him getting back into it. Ariel Helwani asked George St. Pierre, MMA. Ariel Helwani, MMA analyst, asked George St. Pierre what he thought about Dana White's comments about this. And he just said, like, he wants to stay in it and he wants to stay focused and think like, maybe I will get this fight. And he's excited to hear that. But at the same time, it's just like kind of going back and forth. Like, mm-hmm. in his head, is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen? Should I think about enjoying life? Should I not think about enjoying life? Because he is retired. He's a 2-time world champion at 2 different weight classes. Think about all the title defenses he had at welterweight. He went up and beat Michael Bisping for the 185-pound belt as well. Could he be one of the first guys in UFC history to have 3 belts in his case at home, man?
Dang.
That's fucking crazy.
That's sick.
155 as well. But, man, I'm looking forward to all those fights when it comes to the UFC. DC versus Stipe.
Yeah.
Izzy Adesanya against Paulo Costa. And obviously Khabib versus Justin Gaethje.
Some good fights coming up.
Yeah, big time.
I can't wait to... We're going to do another breakdown on Stipe and Cormier, but...
Yeah, entire UFC 252 breakdown as well. That's exciting, man.
I kind of... See, I thought Stipe might win that one, but it's Cormier's last fight ever. So I know I'm gonna be pulling for him. So I may as well just go with Cormier when we call it, dude, because I know that's who I'm gonna be rooting for. It's just,
it's kind of one of those picks where you think to yourself, like, you want, I personally want Stipe to win, but I think DC is gonna win, because I remember the first round of the rematch against Stipe, he wrestled the fuck out of Stipe and just dominated the first round, and then completely went away from the wrestling.
Mm.
And then that's how he got finished. He got finished because he wasn't able to take some body shots that Stipe gave him in the fourth round. And then Stipe KO'd him, man.
Yeah, that's...
So it's tough. It's tough to say kind of what... Like, I think Cormier's going to win, but I want Stipe to win. You know?
And really? You don't want Cormier to win? It's his last fight ever?
No. Really? I like Cormier a lot, but I want Stipe to win, man. I think Stipe's one of the greatest heavyweights of all time. I really do.
That's cool. Yeah, man. I can't wait for that one. Hey, I want to fast check to college football. Anything we got to talk about? Dude, I remember last pod we talked about this, and you were like, some of the players are opting out of the season. I was like all against it. I kept thinking about it over the week, dude, and I'm like, you know, I made a mistake there. That's not bad on them. If they have film and stuff and they want to sit out the season, like, I get it.
Yeah,
I mean, you see it more and more. You see in the NFL, like we talk about.
Big time.
You know, at this pod. So, man, I get it.
It's just interesting. I don't think college football is going to happen, man.
Dude, but like,
I hate saying that.
So the thing for me is, the main question I have is, so you have these PAC and Big Ten mainly opting out of non-conference games.
Yeah.
So what if like Ohio State makes the college football playoff and they're against Clemson or Alabama? I'm just saying as an example. Do they not play that because they're not playing non-conference games? Or like, how does that work? Is that too early to talk about that?
Yeah, I think it's too early to talk about. And they obviously would have to play that game, I think.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, too early to talk about, but definitely play that game. Hey, definitely play that game, man.
Just for the pure financials behind that, I mean, you got to play that championship or playoff, you know, game for the university. So we'll see.
It's tough. Do we just put Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Alabama into the playoff and just watch that this year?
I wouldn't mind. That wouldn't be too bad.
That would be pretty fun.
But I want to see my boys LSU play.
Play what?
Play some football. Some football.
Play PS4?
Some football.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So we'll see what goes on. I'm sure there's going to be more news coming up. But
for sure.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for tuning in today. That was an awesome Wednesday Melee. Catching up with news around the leagues, around the players, et cetera. So that was sweet.
Yeah, if you're not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts and give us a follow on Instagram at No Days Off Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for sticking around with us.
Peace.
Another Wednesday Melee.
Tyson, comeback, victory, champ,
say
White Tiger.